Welcome to CoinISA, your source of in-depth articles on cryptocurrencies and ICOs.
Today,
I have with me Henrik Danbjerg, CEO of Bloxa. Now, Bloxa seems to be a solution to an emerging trend in the labor market and the economy. Can you tell us why was Bloxa created in the first place?
Well, Bloxa is actually an idea I had 7 years ago. And the name stems from Blue Ocean Services. I started out as a service designer and an UX designer. And my idea was that when you see the big platforms like Craigslist and eBay, places like that, where private people, they sell each other used bicycles and everything else, I was thinking back 7 years ago that maybe we should have a platform where we could sell our time and services instead. So it's a pre-gig economy kind of thoughts, pre-Uber, Airbnb places. And back then it was difficult to get off the ground. But then in 2017 I went into crypto, and I saw the infrastructure in blockchain and in that whole community, and I thought now it's time to build Bloxa.
What solutions do you provide?
Well, our users, they create a calling card or a business card, because one of the things in the gig economy is that in 2025, at least in the EEC, we expect more than 40% to be working in the gig economy. And that is a place where you don't have one employer, so you will not have a business card from one company. So the first thing our users get is an interactive personal business card. It states their skills in 5 simple tags, and then the users can add their social media links to the card, and the card then produces a butterfly link, and that is what they share online, on Facebook, Instagram, everywhere where they can find customers. And they say, follow me, and go into Bloxa, and on Bloxa they can have an end-to-end encrypted chat mm-hmm. about whatever it is they want to trade. And once they settle on something, they can create a contract, so that you have a written contract that I'm supposed to deliver something, and that contract turns into a bill. So at the end date, it asks for money and says, now it's time to pay. So it does that for you as well. And then when the client pays you, they will be able to swipe the money to you in Bloxa directly, like a mobile payment.
Can you pay with both fiat and cryptocurrencies?
Yes, you choose that when you enter into a deal. You can actually settle your deals in 3 ways. You can say cash, like cash in hand or outside the system, and cards, and that's the prepaid cards that are inside Bloxa. So that's a mobile pay, mobile bank solution, or crypto. And for crypto, we give our users a wallet inside the app, so they can have receive their payments there. But they can use any wallet whatsoever, because we do not mm-hmm. take a cut out of people's paychecks.
So speaking of cuts, what are the payments or the fee structure?
The fee structure is actually inside Bloxa is a closed loop finance system. So if 2 Bloxas pay each other, we do not take any fees at all. It's free. But if you were to find a client outside of Bloxa and they want to pay a bill that you give them from Bloxa, they will pay an acquiring fee of 2%. 1% will be for the acquiring systems. That is like when you buy a pair of jeans in a shop, the shop actually pays an acquiring fee because you pay with a MasterCard, for instance. Mm-hmm. So it's the same here. If you pay with a credit card to a Bloxa user, there will be an acquiring fee of 2%. 1% is for the whole financial system, and the other percent goes to Bloxa.
You actually have quite a lot of things for free. I actually looked around. You have more free products than the competitors. So how does Bloxa actually make money?
Well, when you issue cards for Visa or MasterCard, you get a cut of whatever activity those cards create in the real world. So if Bloxa is able to attract people who want to instead of take up loans and credits, want to make some money while they study and have it on their phone and have their customers and everything there, then we are actually achieving something special, because then we are creating accounts where people receive income. And that income will be used in the real world to buy plane tickets and clothes and food and pay rent and stuff like that. And when they do that, they pay normal fees like they would have with any other MasterCard or Visa card. And Bloxa gets 75% of all those fees because we are the issuer. So.
Let's talk about your timeline. You started in August. You already have an MVP now in December. So tell me, what is available to the users now, and what will be available in the coming months? So what features are available now, and what will be added on later?
Actually, it's a good time you're interviewing me, because this week we actually launched in Play Store and App Store. In our roadmap, we wouldn't have done that until January, so it's kind of a soft launch for your listeners only, and for some invited groups, and that's because we wanna test the whole onboarding flow and the way the service looks and feels and stuff like that. And we do not just want a usability test; we want to test it in a real life situation. So we have like this pre-release right now in December 18, and in this version you can get in line to get your virtual prepaid MasterCard that sits inside the phone for free. You can create your gig economy calling card, as we call it, the Bloxa card, and that will be posted into a carousel that you look at the phone, like much like Tinder. So it's kind of like a beacon. It works. Now we're in Copenhagen, so if people look for somebody with my skills in Copenhagen, they will see my card. And when I'm in Kuala Lumpur or somewhere else, I will pop up on their searches. So that card, you can create that and own it, and you can add other users to your contact list. And late next week, just before Christmas, we will probably also be able to launch an end-to-end encrypted chat. So now you can find resources, you can add them to a contact list, and you can make deals via the chat. And then we have a release in March. We actually, all the things I just told about is in our roadmap for January, but we are releasing them in December. In March, we are going to release the contracts tool. So the contracts tool is like a specific communication between two users where they say at this time and date for this amount I will do this service, and we kind of keep it on our servers, and when the time is up we ask both users if they are happy with what has happened, and they will rate each other. So there is also a rating system, and that goes live in March, and by May everybody who ordered cards will receive the cards from Bancor. So that is the roadmap for now.
You have your own token, correct?
Yeah.
Will you have an ICO next year?
In the initial roadmap, we had a 3-stage or 4-stage ICO kind of plan, and we did the seed in September, raising about $500,000 US. We didn't market it. We only had a conversation with people around the company, and we did it to get the whole tokenization of our company, to get that up and running, and to prepare for an ICO. But then in November and December, we have private sales where we are going to professional investors to see if they want to have a stake in this, and it could be partial token and partial equity in the company. And then we would have run a public ICO in January, February, and March before the launch of the contract tool, and then again a second stage in April, May, and June. Because our tokens, the Box tokens, that goes live on the secondary markets on July 1st next year, and it's a security token that pays dividend to whoever holds it. But given the current crypto markets and then the way things are developing, and the neglect from authorities to really give us good regulatory framework to work in has made us reconsider the ICO approach. And we're not calling it off, but we are postponing it and looking more over into having equity investments, direct investments into the company. And then for us, it's a matter of doing the last kind of product investments in the spring, and then get some traction in the market so that we can have our own revenue to build on.
So actually, to engage on Bloxer, you don't necessarily need your token then.
No, it's not a utility token. So it has no use in the platform. It is strictly a security token,
and hence the regulation problems.
Yeah, but it's, in our opinion, utility tokens are for most parts trash. So what you do with a utility token is it has one single purpose in one piece of software, like an application, where it can do one thing. But that already exists. If you do an app and you release it via Play Store or App Store, you can have credits inside the app, and you can make a lot of money on that. So if you want to have a utility token, there's no need to make a crypto utility token. You can actually just use the credit systems available. Mm-hmm. So that's what we are doing. So in our app, you can use a credit system to pay for your contracts. You will pay one credit to